Welcome to Frequency Matters, the RF and Microwave Update Series. I'm Pat Hindle, and I'm here with my original co-host, David Vai, Senior Product Marketing Manager at Cadence now.
That's correct, yeah.
So you've been doing that for a few years now. How is that industry evolving with AI and cloud computing? Is that affecting the trends there?
Sure. Well, first I wanted to thank you for having me back. It's a pleasure to be here. So it's been, what, 7 years, I think?
Since we started the series.
Well, congratulations. Yeah, that's wonderful.
We'll be doing our 200th episode next year.
That's fantastic. That's longer than the original Star Trek. By 2.5 times, right, yeah. Yeah, you were asking about the industry. Yeah, there's been a lot of consolidation industry-wide among EDA players as well as, you know, obviously the industry itself. And I think it speaks to, you know, how important and significant the systems are that we're building, the infrastructure. We look at five big factors. Hyperscale computing, obviously 5G and 6G, industrial Internet of Things, autonomous automobiles, and AI and machine learning. And to support all those things requires a massive amount of engineering effort, as you can imagine. So we're just really seeing on the EDA side, you know, just a huge scaling and capability. So you mentioned cloud computing, you know, it's just, what's really important is just there's a limited pool of engineers, and so you need to make them as productive and efficient as possible. So there's just so much more power behind each engineer in terms of automation and in terms of compute power, you know. So either companies are investing in their own server farms or they're going to the cloud for solutions. So one engineer and a whole lot of massive computing simulation and analysis behind that. So it's a pretty exciting time, yeah.
Great. So in this episode, we're going to take a look at our October passive and control components issue. Very interesting cover story written by AVX, and they take a look at the design of off-chip passive circuits to be able to optimize the performance of GaN and also address thermal issues. So they take a look at DC blocking, bias filtering, impedance matching, and thermal issues in the design of that circuit.
Okay, sounds very practical, yeah.
Yeah, and then there was a second one that was about the design of our Wilkinson power divider, one of our popular topics, right? They add planar stubs to the Wilkinson power divider to realize a great size reduction. So this is not new or unique, but the size reduction was tremendous, so we thought it was worth publishing.
Okay, yeah, that sounds great.
And you were able to preview a couple of the articles.
I appreciate it. It was great. Well, a couple things that caught my eye. The article from SIAE Microelectronics, they're a multinational out of Italy that I've been following them for a while, for various reasons, but they're doing a beamforming systems where they've built in stabilization to address, it's an E-band long haul. So they're concerned with misalignment and thermal variations. And so they've built into that system ways to address those, which I'm looking forward to, because I've written a lot recently over the past few years on beamforming, because we have solutions for that. And we'll be doing a webinar on that on October 19th, so I'm very interested in that topic. The other one that caught my eye was a university paper, I think University of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And it was on another coupler, a branch line, a microchip branch line coupler with some harmonic suppression. And I know a team at Cadence developing a reference design, a load modulated balanced amplifier based on some work from Dr. Steve Cripps. And so they need that kind of coupler for that architecture. So I'm interested in looking at, and you know, their need is to really shrink the size of that down. So I want to take a look at that and see if it's applicable to what they're doing.
Great, lots of good technical content.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
So we did have another special guest join us for this episode. I got to talk to Brian Goldstein, Vice President of the Aerospace and Defense Group at ADI, and we talked about trends in the space industry and how ADI is meeting some of those challenges. So let's take a look at a clip from that now.
How do you see the space market evolving from here, given where it is now?
So first, in communications, we see the continued desire to provide broadband internet to rural locations, which is going to continue driving the launch of these mega constellations, numbering in the thousands by the likes of SpaceX, Telesat, and Amazon. We're also seeing Earth observation desires continuing, driving some of the smaller players to deploy new constellations. We see launch costs continuing to reduce, and a desire to see them reduced further. We're seeing more customer adoption of less stringent radiation reliability requirements, which is again driving our commercial space products into LEO and even GEO constellations. We see a continued evolution of the capabilities and quantities of LEO satellites as real life data is being acquired. We expect broader worldwide deployment beyond the typical countries that you've historically expected. We're seeing smaller countries start to launch their own satellites. And we're seeing a rapid expansion of defense capabilities with improved communications, GPS, guidance, and remote sensing driving their needs.
It's always good to catch up with Brian Goldstein, one of our most popular guests, so that's always good to talk to him. You can view that entire interview at videos.microwavejournal.com.
Okay, sounds good.
So turning to the news, we're back in the acquisition mode. Lots of those going on. I had talked a few episodes ago about Veoneer, who's the automotive safety and sensing company. Okay. They were bought by Magna International, and that deal went through, but Qualcomm, you know, came in and scooped up the company somehow.
Wow.
They partnered with SSW Partners, and that company will actually buy Veoneer, and then they will sell off the Arriver group to Qualcomm, which is what they want. They're interested in the ADAS and autonomy capabilities. Yeah. They have the Snapdragon Ride ADAS solution, so this will help that take place in,
in the market. Yeah, I remember reading a bit about that,
And then there were two other ones. CASE, which is the former Cobham Defense Group, announced that they bought Colorado Engineering. And right after that, Mari Microwave announced they're acquiring DBM Corporation. And DBM does a lot of emulation and testing in the SATCOM, aerospace and defense market, so that really complements Mari's capabilities.
Yeah, yeah, I remember those guys. We used to get together at SATCOM.
Yes, all the time, Mike Cagney.
Yeah, yeah.
It should be a good change for both of them.
Oh, good.
And then I just wanted to talk about a couple of company happenings. GlobalFoundries has announced that they're going to IPO the company.
Okay.
I think they've been planning to do this for many years, but they're just waiting for a time when they could realize good value. And with all the semiconductor shortages and all the focus on semiconductor technology, I think they can realize some good value now.
Yeah, well, I think it kind of plays industry-wide. You know, we talked about those disruptive technologies or transformative technologies, you know, in 5G and hyperscaling and whatnot. There's just so much development going on, so many opportunities that, you know, we're busy, our customers are extremely busy. And I think it just kind of leans into that need to be really efficient, design for manufacture and design for success. It's really important on the EDA side. Sorry to, you know, be pitching that. That's the field that I come from. But it's a very interesting time.
And I just wanted to address one other company change. Cree announced that they will officially change their name to Wolfspeed.
Oh, there you go.
And at the same time, they also announced a big partnership with GM to supply silicon carbide devices for their electronic vehicles. So another big mega trend everybody's following.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about automotive for the past few years, but I think this upcoming year is going to be a significant year, I think, especially in Europe. You know, a lot of stuff is driven by the European market and that government. They put a lot in place. They do incentivize their private sectors quite a bit. So there's a lot of drive to innovate in the automotive space. And so we're hearing among our customers that there's going to be a lot of shift to R&D activity there. So I think this upcoming year is going to be an important one for automotive. And so I'm thinking Europe. But speaking of Europe, you've got any news on European Microwave Week? It's been a few years for me.
It'll be taking place in London in February, so that was delayed from October.
Okay. All right.
Registration will be opening this month, so you can look out for that. And Microwave Journal will again be organizing the Defense, Space, and Security Forum industry sessions, like I know you're involved in that in the past, too.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
So we have Corvo, Rodion Schwartz, and ADI talking, and we probably have one more spot open. If anybody is interested, they can contact me. And then there'll be a second one in September in Milan, so two European Microwave Weeks next year.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and we hope we can get back to, you know, traveling at European and internationally at IMS in June, so hope to see everybody.
Yeah, it'll be really good to get back to seeing people on the road. We've been doing most of our customer education and whatnot through webinars and online activity, which is fine. I think it really serves the market well, and we can really broadcast to a lot of people. But there is something special about that face-to-face
Yeah, you can't replace that.
No, you really can't.
Yeah, you're going to be doing a series with Microwave Journal too, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So we're doing a series of webinars to promote functionality in our version 16 of AWR and Microwave Office, which was the first release since we were acquired by Cadence. And the R&D was shifted to a strategy of developing RF content that would, you know, eventually get plugged into their PCB and RFIC solutions, Virtuoso and Allegro. So we built in a lot of capability, and there's a lot of newness in the product that we need to cover and educate our users on. And so we've been engaged in that for the, you know, through the month of October into November. And then in December, we'll partner with Microwave Journal and we'll present a full day of various topics, kind of application-based. We'll straddle power amplifier topics and antenna design topics, but some really good stuff coming out for educational purposes.
Yeah, it's a great lineup. We're starting to set it up now.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
So I'd like to thank our sponsors today. RFMW is a pure-play distributor of RF and microwave products, and they also do application support, so they're more than just a distributor. And we'd also like to thank Analog Devices. They do both an RF microwave portfolio of products, but they also do digital signal processing and mixed signal processing, so they do the entire signal chain. And we want to remind everybody, if you're not a subscriber to Microwave Journal, you can go to microwavejournal.com and click subscribe. It only takes a few minutes, and it's a free subscription to everybody in the industry. And with that, we'd like to thank everybody for watching today, and join us next time for Frequency Matters.